The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now, from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into the Coaches Show. Week 8 in the books. They've hit the bye week, and this is our bye week edition with head coach John Fox. Good evening. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you. It's always easier to do this show after a win.
Yeah, sure is. A lot of smiles around. That's number one. You kind of felt it even last week, in my opinion only, is my opinion. Just the locker room was real loose. They were happy. They were joking around. You know, Josh Bellamy was always one of the biggest voices in the room. He and Cam Meredith having spirited discussions about who was better, LeBron James or Michael Jordan. I mean, I don't know. To me, that shows some camaraderie, and it carries over defense and offense. And I just felt and I heard it was a really good week of practice and a really good matchup against the Minnesota Vikings, and it proved to be true in a win last night.
Yeah, I think, those guys remain close. They enjoy being around each other. I think they were inspired. You know, we got some guys back a week ago on the defensive side. I think, with the idea of Jay coming back, I think inspired everybody in there. And this game's about execution, and we prepared hard, and they responded.
You made the plays. They didn't make any plays, to be quite honest. I mean, they made a few. Let me roll that back. I sounded like Mike Zimmer reviewing his team, but they made a couple, but you guys made all the big plays.
Yeah, I think, that was our first really 60-minute game, where we played the full 60 minutes, and really all three phases, the penalties were down, the execution was better, and usually what happens when you perform like that, you get a W.
Man, it's a feel-good win, but you are quick to say, hey, listen, now let's not talk about, momentum, but there is some. There's a bounce. You got it from Jay. You got the win. You got guys thinking good heading into the bye week, and when they come out, they know they're getting helpers with some of the injured guys coming back. But for a younger team, not completely youthful because of the veterans on the team, but for a young team, it has to mean more than just a win because of what the record had been.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're sitting at 2-6 at the halfway mark, it's it's not what everybody wanted. It's not what everybody expected. Obviously we had some setbacks and we had to overcome those. And, I think guys are, definitely excited about the second half of the season.
Yeah, you mentioned what everyone would expect. What were your expectations really heading into this season? I know you're never one to say, and I forgot the exact quote you had when you first took the job. You said it repeatedly.
Understate and overproduce.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, did that mean, was that also the case for this year?
Yeah, I think, again, you can get a pretty good feel for guys' focus and how they go about their business, whether it's just on the practice field or whether it's in the meeting rooms, whether it's, in the weight room. But basically, I was encouraged by what I saw and have been. These guys have hung together, and it's not been real easy. They've kind of, erased out the noise, and they've remained close, and they've remained tight-knit, and this is the ultimate of team games, in my opinion, and that definitely helped last night.
Oh, you can use that to your advantage moving forward, too.
Well, no doubt. I think when these guys pull in the parking lot, they're honestly excited to come to work, which, in a blue-collar job like this, I think that's important.
Well, and blue-collar's big in this town, obviously, too, so they have to appreciate this very aspect because you brought it up many times. Not one time have you said these guys have of not giving their all on Sundays, Mondays, or whatever day of the week they play. So you've been very impressed with the overall effort, even in tough situations when they're down a bundle.
Yeah, I think even work ethic, just their spirit, their enthusiasm. And we've faced some pretty decent setbacks. I mean, when you've been through four quarterbacks, I think, and you're just finishing halfway through the season, just that position alone can be very trying. So, and they've remained positive and continued to work. I love their work ethic, and my experience has been that could help you down the road.
Jordan Howard, a big topic of conversation, and for good reason. He stood up there at the microphone here today at Hallis Hall. He speaks in kind of a monotone but forceful way. There's not a lot of inflection in his voice. He's a young man. He turns 22 tomorrow, but he's playing more mature than that, in my opinion. Again, I'm giving too many opinions, but this is my analysis of it. But, you know, the way he hits point of attack, he does it the way the old-fashioned people love the running game that way. He admits there's times he's left some yards on the field. He's admitting a lot of things that he hasn't done, but he's also giving credit to the offensive line. He's doing everything a young man should say and do right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's a high-character young man, and he's developing as a professional football player. And I think he's doing it very maturely for his age. I think, he's mature a little bit beyond his years, and the way he's approached it, the humility that he's, taken with some success early in his career, and that's impressive.
Cush and Larson for sitting in long yesterday. Casual observers might get worried about that, but those two guys, 2 weeks in a row, when they filled in last week and then starting this week, I mean, they did a really good job interiorly.
Yeah, I think, they're veteran guys, high-character guys, great teammates, and you're one play away from being a starter, and that's we use the phrase next man up, and I think most everybody in the league does. And in that case, both those guys stepped up in a big way.
I know you don't get into the stat thing. I'm the one who pulls these numbers out. But Stats Inc., rates the offensive line. I started doing this a couple years back, the offensive line protection index. Right now the Bears are ninth. Given all the concern about the offensive line heading into the season with four new starters, essentially, except for Charles Leno Jr., the addition of Sitton week one, Cody Whitehair, first-time center, rookie starting, two new guys at guard, I'd say that's pretty good.
Well, I think our staff's done a remarkable job, and the players in those units, and particularly the offensive line. I mean, I go back to even when Hronas Grasu got hurt, in FanFest. That's a young guy that's a high pick that we were counting on, third-round pick from 15. So we've been kind of, that's been a revolving door from the onset. I think if you go back to even to last year, I think only one guy was in the starting lineup from a year ago, and that was Charles Leno. Even Kyle Long changed positions. So a lot of new guys and learning a new system and, there's been a lot of change, but at the end of the day, it's helped us because we've developed some depth. And, Eric Cush wasn't even on the team in camp. Ted Larson was a free agent. So, they've worked hard to get where they are, and they have really improved, from the start of the season.
Great balance yesterday by virtue of the fact you can get there by what happened in the final drive. That final drive, if you're a football fan, you got to love that.
That's how you close out games, and I think that was impressive. I think the way we started the game was good. Go right down and kick a field goal. The way we came out after halftime, receiving the ball to start the second half, we go down and score. Those are things we haven't done so far this season. So it's encouraging, and it's encouraging to them because, like I said, they have been busting their tails to get this right and get the ship righted. And I think that's an impressive win against a team that is leading our division.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, that encouragement for the players. I mean, I heard them repeatedly say this was a team that was 5-0 2 weeks ago, and people had already had them put them in the Super Bowl. So this is not some slouch opponent, obviously, Mike Zimmer's Vikings.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
Crowder pulls back from center, toss right, Jordan Howard on right in front. He goes in on touch, right side of the end zone. Howard's in. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears.
That's Jordan Howard, our Xfinity Player of the Game, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at Halas Hall at the PNC Studios. Jeff Joniak and John Fox, Vic Fangio along a bit later on. Mitch Unrein at fullback. He's certainly played it before. He's caught passes, right? He's more than capable. Love that play, too. A little toss, nice and easy running into the end zone for Jordan Howard.
Yeah, I think Minnesota got a bit confused on the sub. We went, we were in what we call 13 personnel, which is three tight ends, one wide out in the back, and all of a sudden we slipped Mitch in there as the fullback, and they did not substitute the goal line, so it was a soft corner and an easy score, well blocked, and Mitch was leading the way.
Yeah, that's fun for Mitch. 11 carries, 44 yards in that fourth quarter for Jordan Howard. He made a comment today. He didn't feel like the Vikings were interested in tackling him.
Well, I think, it's a little bit like a heavyweight fight. I think, the head blows look a lot more dynamic and whatnot. And some of those body blows, they don't really wear on the opponent until later rounds or later in the game. And that's always a factor. It's it can wear down an opponent.
Traditionally, the idea is with a bigger back, you go low to bring them down. If they're really a power back like that, he's a thick-thighed back. But guys seem to fall off of him at the first or second contact. He steps out of tackles. So does that cause any indecision on a defender on how to go at a guy like that? It's not like he's Jerome Bettis size, but he's a big back.
Yeah, I mean, he's 235 pounds, and he does have good feet. He does carry his pads. He runs a little bit upright, but he, as you mentioned, he's very thick in the lower. And so, you know, he's for smaller guys, he's a problem. And, you know, you've seen a lot of successful big backs in this league, and, you know, I think he's off to a good start in his career.
Dowell Loggins had the Vikings on their heels with the play calling. Obviously, the runs set that up, so you're nearly 50-50 on that part of it. But the types of plays that were run, moving Jay out. Jay did some great ad-lib play, too, against the heavy blitz at one point, the shovel pass. That was my favorite play of the game. Just the awareness of making sure he didn't get whacked by Harrison Smith, stepping up, and boom, that was a big play right there. Overall, had to be feeling really good to be able to use the whole full complement of your offense throughout the whole game for Dowell to make those play calls.
No doubt. You know, I think that's something that Jay brings to the table is his elusiveness and, you know, his ability to create, and particularly on third down. You know, we were very, very effective on third down for the game. And it's been a little bit of a bugaboo or a problem area up to last night. And, you know, I think Jay was a big reason for that. You know, we have a lot of different things involved in the offense. Obviously, it was way easier to ask of Jay Cutler, say, than a week ago with Matt Barkley, as far as the experience, the knowledge of the offense, and being able to execute it.
Now, the average fan sees what Howard's been doing here this season now, and he's up over 500 yards. He's over 5 yards a carry. He's got, I think he's top seven in the league and runs for 10 yards or more. He's got 16 of those, you know, right up near the top of the heap. And so, you know, but he had to wait his turn, too. There were some things he had to learn and adjust to in the NFL level. Also took advantage of an opportunity with Jeremy Langford going down.
Well, that's one of the, you know, the advantages of injuries, if there is such a thing. But, you know, it gives guys opportunities. And I think Jordan was a guy, obviously, we felt good about. I believe he was a fifth-round pick. You know, a guy that developed throughout, you know, the mini camps and the offseason. And you know, he just really started to pick it up. And Stan Drayton, our running back coach, does a fabulous job of teaching, both in mindset, you know, attitude, as well as the skill set. And, you know, he responded and he got his opportunity and took advantage of it.
5.7 yards a carry for this team running the ball on first down, too. Man, that'll keep you ahead of the chains.
Yeah, we've been pretty successful on first down, you know, for the first,
same with the pass.
Half of the season, just overall, just first down offense. And, you know, I think, you know, third down was struggling. We've still had our struggles in a red area that I think will continue to improve. And obviously the ability to run the ball helps, especially when that field gets short and the passing game gets, you know, the windows get smaller to make things happen.
You know, look at the defensive side of the ball with all the different changes you've had in the secondary, certainly injuries to Danny Trevathan, injuries up front. But the numbers are showing some big bounce from when you took over this defense here in Chicago the last couple of years. It was bottom of the league, and now top 10 right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, and then, you know, what I would tell the fans is, you know, we've kind of shifted our roster from, you know, one of the oldest rosters in the NFL to one of the younger ones. And so to do that, you have to build through the draft. We've only had two drafts. Unfortunately, we have some of those key guys get injured this year that hopefully will be back for the second half. But, you know, I think the guys are fighting and they're continuing to compete. And I think they have all season. And I think, you know, we'll just get better as the season wears on.
Third in the league also in three and outs. And that's not a small thing. When you saw early in the season, possession time was a little warped. I think that led to the fact that, you know, the Bears also have given up the most 10-yard scoring drives and 5-minute drives. That was more early in the season. Now it's starting to settle down a little bit.
Yeah, I think with that youth, it comes some growing pains. And I think, you know, guys are learning the system. They're working very hard at it. Our coaching staff, really on both sides of the ball, I know we're talking about defense, have done a tremendous job. And, you know, it just takes a lot of hard work. You know, most good things do. And it's starting to pay off a little bit. And hopefully we can build on it this second half.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Snap, Cutler pulls back on the handoff, throws the slant, end zone, touchdown, Alshon Jeffrey. They got him and worked on Trey Waynes, who replaced the injured Rhodes. They went at him, touchdown Bears in the 19-3 lead here in the third quarter at Soldier Field.
touchdown of the year for Alshon Jeffrey, number one, and the Bears get the win over the Minnesota Vikings. Final segment here with head coach John Fox on the Bears Coaches Show. You can listen to the next Bears All Access radio show brought to you by Uber this Thursday at 6 p.m. on WSCR 670 a.m., part of the Chicago Bears network of shows. So Alshon gets in the end zone. Amen, yeah, right?
It's hard to believe that that's the first one, but, but it's true.
He's such a perfect – well, is he? I mean, he's a perfect red zone weapon, given his size and so forth.
I think there's probably one other one that he'd probably like to have back. But and then same thing with Jay earlier on the first drive on a third down play, kind of in the far corner of the end zone. I think he's made a lot of big plays, a lot of big catches. Jay and him have good chemistry. And, I don't know if people remember the third and five. He knows how to get the ball to Alshon and does an outstanding job of doing that.
Did you see what you thought you'd see from Jay?
Yeah, I really did. I mean, I think what I'd remind everybody is, he hadn't played in 5 weeks. And, that's rehabbing a thumb, which is an integral part, especially on your throwing hand, of, delivering the ball. And we felt good about it. He looked good all week, and I thought he did a tremendous job.
Sounds like he had fun, too, post-game, listening to him in our post-game show right after you joined us with Tom Thayer. Zach Zaman's interview, he seemed to be, relieved in many senses and just having fun. Credit in the fellas. Really sounded like he wants to just have fun the rest of this year.
Yeah, I think, it's never easy being injured and, just being away from it and not being able to compete and, just going to the training room every day to rehab and do the things you do when you can't play. But he did a great job through that process. He was great with Brian Hoyer. He was great with Matt Barkley. He was great with Dal on game day, even in the on the game plans. So, he was a great teammate. I think obviously frustrated that he couldn't play and we weren't winning. I think we won one game during that stretch. And, get the opportunity to get back out there, I think it inspires you. And, he was one of our captains, and usually all the captains speak night before the game, long before halfway through the season. So he was the final captain. We finally got him back, and he did a great job with the fellas. Yeah,
we heard some of what he had to say to the team. It sounded to be pretty inspirational, and the fellas liked what he had to say. You're not going to reveal all those details, obviously. That's a private matter, but were you moved by it?
Oh, yeah. I think I knew how much it meant to him, and, this can be a trying profession when you're in the arena. There's a lot of criticism, but, that's what everybody signs up for. They all sign contracts to do it. Everybody's well compensated, and, I think he just enjoyed finally being able to be out there and competing with his teammates.
Nothing's been easy about this season. You touched on that in the first segment. How have you handled it?
Again, it's been here before. I think like everything, those experiences help. I think we've got a strong staff. We have, a strong locker room. And, guys have handled it very, very well. And hopefully we'll be able to reap some of those benefits moving forward.
What, if anything, as a head coach, aggravates you? What gets under your skin?
Losing. This game's only fun when you win.
Beyond that.
Yeah. But, well, that's a big one.
Hey, I know it's the only one. But
you put a lot of time and effort into these things. That can get frustrating. I have a great passion for it, and I think I like surrounding myself with people like that. Whether it's your coaching staff, or whether it's the strength staff, or whether it's the medical staff, and players.
Well, that's the big one. You need. I think that you love guys like Danny, guys like Purnell, guys like Harold Jones Corte, guys like this Kush kid. I mean, getting to know just that type of mentality.
Yeah, I think,
makes it fun for you.
Well, no doubt. Yeah, I think, it's
Bellamy.
You like enthusiasm. I mean, really, the cornerstone of any success is really hard work and enthusiasm. And I think surrounding yourself with those type of people, I think, takes time and evaluation. Eventually you get the kind of people that you know it takes to win a championship.
Optimistic?
Oh, very much so. I think, back to the work ethic and the enthusiasm that they come to work every day, I think eventually you start to reap those benefits.
All right. Some coaches, they do a whole self-scout thing during the bye week. I don't know what you guys are doing. What will the week be like for you guys and your staff? Is it some downtime now?
Yeah, I think, it's a little tougher coming off a Monday night. You get robbed of a day. But, again, that this is a much-needed break for, you know, our players to get healthy, both mentally and physically, as well as the staff. So guys will get out of here tomorrow afternoon. They're not back till Monday. You know, so we'll have a bonus day as we prepare for Tampa Bay when we come back. But this is a well-timed, much-needed break.
Yeah, and guys like Royal, Sitton, Long, Langford, Callahan, Goldman, they should all be healthier. Can't say for sure if they'll all be back, but I would think the arrow's certainly pointing in that direction.
Well, they're going to be a lot closer than they were this past week getting ready for Minnesota.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your break.
I appreciate it.
That's
Jeff.
Bears head coach John Fox. Coming up next, defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. You can help deserving families by donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive at participating Jewel Osco locations from October 24th through January 1st. Donations benefit the Salvation Army.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox, and this hour featuring defensive coordinator Vic Fangio, brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Snap is back. Bradford in a tight pocket, and down he goes. Sacked at the 15-yard line. Leonard Floyd with another sack.
3 and 2 weeks for Leonard Floyd as the Bears knock out the Minnesota Vikings. Welcome back to the program. It's 7:04. Pleased to be joined by Vic Fangio, and the kid's getting some good reps, isn't he?
Yes, he's done well the last 2 weeks. You know, he missed the previous 2.5 games, basically, and didn't get much practice time in those 2.5 weeks. Been able to get some practice here the last 2 weeks, and taking advantage of it, and he's starting to get into a groove a little bit and playing better and better.
Can you read body language very well from your perch when you're watching a player like this, this young rookie, who is trying to understand the game at this level and understand the physicality of it and what needs to be done? You just, you know, I know he's heard said this many times, you just can't have one move. All that coming together when he does make a play, do you see it different when he comes off the ball 10 snaps later or 20 snaps later or the next game later?
Yeah, you do. You know, like I said earlier in camp or earlier in the season, he needed to spring together some weeks of practice and weeks of playing, and you can see it start to pay off. You know, he's not making the same mistake twice. He's feeling more comfortable out there. He's being a little bit more decisive in what he's doing, and you could feel that his body is getting a little bit more comfortable out there with each and every play.
Since the body's God-given and he tunes it up with the weight room and whatnot, do you love the idea of having a player with that kind of skill set, ability, and physicality, his physical makeup, to take that piece of clay and mold it? Is that a reward for you? Beyond the winning, the smaller focus of it, is that rewarding for you?
Oh, sure. I mean, one of the biggest joys you get in coaching, for me anyway, at this stage of my career, is seeing players improve. And if you get enough players improve individually, then the unit improves as a whole. If the unit improves as a whole, then the teams improve. So I do enjoy seeing a player get better and better. He's got good work ethic when he's here. He puts in the time. He's got a very good skill set from his athleticism, which is one of the reasons I was not worried about his weight that was so publicized. I mean, I accepted the fact that he was 235 pounds when we drafted him. I don't know how heavy he'll get throughout his career. He'll get a little bit, but it didn't bother me because he's really got a good athletic skill set. He's quick, he's fast, he's athletic, and he'll learn to play a little bit more physical and play within himself to become a more physical player as he plays more.
One thing that really bothers me sometimes when people write about rookies, especially first-round picks, it's the nature of the beast that is an instant expectation, but football players, in most cases, except for the rare superstars, it's not instant coffee or instant soup. Mm-hmm. You know, how does a player handle that when they have those same expectations as a writer or a broadcaster who analyzes them, but it's not coming right away?
Well, I think some guys, it can get to them, and other guys will just start to work harder and listen more to the coaching and listen more to their veteran players that are trying to give them a point or two here and there. And it's a slow process that all of a sudden one day the light will go on and they'll make a big jump and then they can take off.
Is that happening here?
It's in the process. I wouldn't go there yet. And I think one of the biggest reasons is the constant interruption he's had in his development this season. But, you know, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to be a good player. You know, how good? you know, remains to be seen. You know, that's going to be determined by his work ethic, his humility, his want to.
One thing about you I learned, you are not prone to hyperbole. You say it like it is.
Well,
you have to. That's how you are. It's good. It's fun. It's refreshing to hear, actually. So, Vic Fangio, Bears defensive coordinator.
The Bears Coaches Show with defensive coordinator Vic Fangio and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continue.
Sets the throw. Pressure coming from Cloyd Bradford. Stepping up into the set. And down he goes at the 50-yard line. Brought down by Akeem Hicks. Second time tonight. Give the assist to Leonard Floyd for flushing him up into the pocket into the hands of Akeem Hicks.
Yeah, Bears had 5 sacks last night on the win over the Minnesota Vikings. Here with Vic Fangio and those guys up front. Obviously, a lot was expected of them in the front seven. That was the big conversation before the season, that it would be the strength of the team. And it's really starting to come together now that it gets healthier, too. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think we've played better up front overall this season compared to last season. It's had its interruptions through the injuries that you alluded to, you know, Trevathan missing 2 games and then playing with a cast. He's played better the other night, seems to have fallen back into playing like he can. Obviously, Floyd in and out, he's back. McPhee making his first real appearance in Green Bay, but really, really had his first impact in a game last night. Hicks has been there all season playing. He's been steady for us. And, you know, we haven't had Goleman the last 6 games, really. So we miss him. So we still haven't been whole up there yet, but I think we have been playing better.
Cornelius Washington, in my opinion, has played the best he's played since he's been a Bear.
No question. He's had a real spotty career up to this point. I think our D-line coach, Jay Rogers, has done a great job with him, bringing him along. And we've been able to get some quality snaps out of him in each and every game.
All right, I want to go to the play because now I just visualize McPhee whacks Bradford. Ball comes out. I had the same sense, okay, play's over, but I didn't hear a whistle. Cornelius in that same boat. Is that a mistake, obviously? It's not a good one, but is it almost an honest mistake? Like, okay, he gets on. I don't know how you look at it, but I look at it as, okay, it was bad, but it wasn't not awful. Because of how it transpired. He didn't hear the whistle, I'm assuming, right? He walked onto the field.
Right. I think what happened was he saw the ball alive. Akeem Hicks didn't. And Keem could have very easily recovered that ball.
And probably run it all the way back for a touchdown. Well, maybe.
Well, let's not get too out of line. But I think he was just trying to yell out to the players on the field to go recover it. And he got onto the field 2-3 yards.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right next to an official, and the official threw the flag. Like I was telling the other coaches today when we were watching the film, I've never seen that happen.
Me neither.
In,
never.
I don't know, 30-some years in pro football. And, you know, you always get a first every now and then, but I was pretty ticked off at the time.
I'd imagine. Because, you know, things were going so well, you didn't want to give them even a spark, and that turned out to be a long drive. See, I assumed he was just going in for a substitution or something, and they thought the play was dead. But more to the point, when the ball's on the ground, just go and get it no matter what. Don't take any chances, right?
Absolutely. We've shown our guys at least 4 or 5 clips of similar plays to that have happened around the league this year alone, besides clips that we showed them in the offseason, and it's a big emphasis for us. We've shown them examples of it. We just didn't get it done there, you know. And not only Akeem, some of the other guys, too. So that was, you know, a poor play on our part all the way around. Great play to knock the ball out by Purnell. But we've emphasized a ball going forward isn't necessarily a forward pass. It could have been knocked forward by a pass rusher, thus being a fumble, and hopefully that will never happen again.
Right, the whole key is there's no point in thinking. Just
right.
Just go and
go
it.
Get it.
Yeah, go get it. It's because it's happened here in other years, long before you were here. There's been plays that have happened, and Pro Bowlers are doing the same thing, just letting the ball go. So, yeah, that's something that just can't happen anymore. All right, so this defense now, top 10 in yards. I know it's all about points. Yards really are just more for, I guess, media and the fans to look at. But more importantly, from my perspective, this team now third in the league in percentage of 3 and outs, which early in the season, possession time was a real critical factor. for keeping your defense on the field and vice versa. So you had a string of three and outs yesterday. You get a defense that was getting to the quarterback. I mean, you got to be optimistic about those particular statistics as well, starting to really show some progress with this defense.
Yeah, I think we've been playing pretty good most of the year. We didn't play well in Dallas. We played well in spurts in Indianapolis, but overall not good enough. But overall, I think we've been doing okay to above average, and we've had some very good games, too. The most disappointing one being the Jacksonville game, where we really had them shut down, dead to rights, and had a couple critical penalties, unfortunate penalties, keep drives alive that put us in the hole there. But overall, I think we've been improving. I think our guys are in a good spot. If we can get back to being close to whole in the secondary, I'm looking forward to the second half of the season.
Is that as critical in terms of chemistry as any unit, to have four guys that know each other? Or five in the case with nickel.
Yeah. You're playing nickel a whole lot more anymore than you're playing base. And it's important, but still it's to get your five best players out there, even if they haven't worked together. But it is important to, you know, it's more important to have the safeties that have worked together and then maybe working with the corners than maybe, you know, one corner doesn't really know what's going on with the other corner, so.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Back with you from Halas Hall in the PNC studio. We're with Vic Fangio, the Bears defensive coordinator. Always a pleasure to talk to Vic. You're on your Chicago Bears at Soldier Field this season. Select single game tickets now available. Visit ChicagoBears.com today. What has surprised you this season?
What has surprised me this season?
I threw you a curveball, Mr.
Baseball.
Yeah,
that's a curveball.
Maybe nothing has, because you've been around a long time. You've seen just about everything, but on your own, I mean, it could be a great surprise. It could be, you know, Craven LeBlanc coming from a team that, you know, this guy's become a key factor, something like that.
You bring up a good name there, and Craven, he's obviously been a surprise, but not a long surprise. We didn't have him until week one of the regular season. But here's a guy that's come in and had to have a crash course at our nickel position, which is a critical position where there's a lot to know and a lot to do. And he's worked extremely hard with that Donatel to get up to speed and be able to go out there and play for us. And when he started to play in the first few games he was playing, he had at least four or five plays where he made mistakes that gave opponents good plays against us that should have never happened, but you couldn't even get upset with him because the kid hadn't been here enough. Yeah. You know, I can remember the first and 25 play we had against Dallas where they threw a screen for like 20 yards to overcome that penalty, and he adjusted wrong. You know, simple thing, but, you know, he just hadn't had enough time on the job. And then this week, because we run short of corners, he had to play corner for us, and he hadn't played any corner for us since he's been here because we focused him on the nickel. And then you see him back there catching punts. You know, so, yeah, I think he's got to qualify as a big surprise. I try not to get too surprised about anything. I'm a one-game-at-a-time guy, so I don't look at what do I think our record should have been. You know, when we played our first game, I was hoping we were going to be 1-0. When we played our second game since we had lost, I was hoping to be 1-1. You know, I don't get caught up in division games, what I think our record should be, a home win, a road win, a road loss, home loss. Every game is a separate entity to me, so I don't ride those peaks and valleys and be surprised.
I tell you what, you love baseball. World Series is on tonight. Our final couple moments here. First baseball game you ever went to, and when did you fall in love with the sport?
Well, I can't tell you exactly when I fell in love with it, but as far as I can remember, I grew up a big-time Phillies fan. First big league game I went to was an old Connie Mack Stadium in Philadelphia. Then it became Veterans Stadium and now Citizens Bank Park. I can remember going to Connie Mack Stadium, watching the Phillies play with Johnny Callison and Tony Gonzalez and Richie Allen and all those guys, Chris Short. and all the way up to when they finally won a World Series in 1980. And so I can relate to the Cubby fans here that are dying hard for this. I didn't have to wait 108 years, but felt like
waited long enough
and wait through some bad seasons. So I have some sympathy. I also have it for the Cleveland fans too. So kind of torn. I'm up pulling hard for the Cubbies, but I'll be happy for Cleveland if they can win too.
Well, we're going to let you go so you can enjoy the game and enjoy your bye week. Appreciate you coming on. Always enjoy talking to you.
All right. Thank you.
There's defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. Now, earlier this evening, Coach John Fox on the great week heading into last night's win.
You know, I think they were inspired. You know, we got some guys back a week ago on the defensive side. I think, you know, with the idea of Jay coming back, I think inspired everybody in there. And, you know, this game's about execution, and we prepared hard, and they responded.
You made the plays. They didn't make any plays, to be quite honest. I mean, they made a few. Let me roll that back. I sounded like Mike Zimmer reviewing his team, but they made a couple, but you guys made all the big plays.
Yeah, I think, you know, that was our first really 60-minute game, you know, where we, you know, played the full 60 minutes, and really all three phases, the penalties were down, the execution was better, and usually what happens when you perform like that, you get a W.
Man, it's a feel-good win, but you are quick to say, hey, listen, now let's not talk about, you know, momentum, but there is some. There's a bounce. You got it from Jay. You got the win. You got guys thinking good heading into the bye week. And when they come out, they know they're getting helpers with some of the injured guys coming back. But for a younger team, not completely youthful because of the veterans on the team, but for a young team, it has to mean more than just a win because of what the record had been.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you're sitting at 2-6 at the halfway mark, it's you know, it's not what everybody wanted. It's not what everybody expected. You know, obviously we had some setbacks and we had to overcome those. And, you know, I think guys are, you know, definitely excited about the second half of the season.
Yeah, you mentioned what everyone would expect. What were your expectations really heading into this season? I know you're never one to say, and I forgot the exact quote you had when you first took the job. You said it repeatedly.
Understate and overproduce.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, did that mean, was that also the case for this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, again, you can get a pretty good feel for guys' focus and how they go about their business, whether it's just on the practice field or whether it's in the meeting rooms, whether it's, you know, in the weight room. But basically, I was encouraged by what I saw and have been. These guys have hung together, and it's not been real easy. They've kind of, you know, erased out the noise, and they've remained close, and they've remained tight-knit, and, you know, this is the ultimate of team games, in my opinion, and that definitely helped last night.
Oh, you can use that to your advantage moving forward, too.
Well, no doubt. You know, I think when these guys pull in the parking lot, they're honestly excited to come to work, which, you know, in a blue-collar job like this, I think that's important.
Well, and blue-collar's big in this town, obviously, too, so they have to appreciate this very aspect because you brought it up many times. Not one time have you said these guys have not given their all on Sundays, Mondays, or whatever day of the week they play. So you've been very impressed with the overall effort, even in tough situations when they're down a bundle.
Yeah, I think even work ethic, just their spirit, how their enthusiasm, you know, and we've faced some pretty decent setbacks. I mean, you know, when you've been through four quarterbacks, I think, and you're just finishing halfway through the season, just that position alone can be very trying. So, you know, and they've remained positive and continued to work. I love their work ethic, and, you know, my experience has been you know, that could help you down the road.
Jordan Howard, a big topic of conversation, and for good reason. He stood up there at the microphone here today at Hallis Hall. He speaks in kind of a monotone but forceful way. There's not a lot of inflection in his voice. He's a young man. He turns 22 tomorrow, but he's playing more mature than that, in my opinion. Again, I'm giving too many opinions, but this is my analysis of it. But, you know, the way he hits point of attack, he does it the way the old-fashioned people love the running game that way. He admits there's times he's left some yards on the field. He's admitting a lot of things that he hasn't done, but he's also giving credit to the offensive line. He's doing everything a young man should say and do right now.
Yeah, I mean, he's a high-character young man, and he's developing as a professional football player. And I think he's doing it very maturely for his age. I think you know, he's mature a little bit beyond his years, and the way he's approached it, the humility that he's, you know, taken with some success early in his career, and that's impressive.
All right, that's going to wrap up this week's program. For John Fox, Vic Fangio, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks to Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and Keith Johnson. Bye week for the Bears, a week from Sunday. There'll be a kicking off in Tampa against the Bucs at noon. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM WBBM. Thanks for listening, everybody.